Siyata Dishmaya, we're going to be learning our weekly parasha summary. We are in Parashat Toldot, the one parasha that Yitzchak Avinu gets. Yitzchak doesn't get too much in the Torah. Mizrat Hashem, Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak Ben Avraham, Avraham Olidet Yitzchak. These are the offspring and the stories and happenings of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham, and Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. The Baal Shem Tov asks on this, how could we have Gvura in the world? How is there a measure of might, of judgment, of limitations that comes out of a person of loving kindness? Comes the Torah and tells us, Avraham olidet Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to it. The limitations and the constrictions of this world are there for our blessing. They are the kindness of Hashem to allow us to interact with His light and not to get completely consumed by it. The fact that there's limitations in the world and there's a no in the world, and there's awe and respect and hierarchy, came out of the loving kindness of Hashem. So let's get into the summary, Bezat Hashem, and hopefully some gems will come down as we're going through it. Bezat Hashem Yitbarach. The Torah tells us about the events in the life of Yitzchak that was born from Avraham. Yitzchak was extremely, extremely similar to Avraham. They looked the same, they acted the same. And when Yitzchak got married with Rivka, he was 40 years old, and Rivka was 3. Rivka was barren and was not able to have children for 20 years. And therefore, Yitzchak and Rivka, each one of them stood in a different corner of the world, of the room, and prayed to Hashem to marry, to have children. It says, "Ve'yater Yitzchak la'Adonai le'nochach ishto ki akarahi, ve'yater lo Adonai v'tahar Rivka ishto." Yitzchak prayed in front of his wife, or so for his wife, so to say, because she was barren, and Hashem answered him, Yitzchak, and Rivka became pregnant. Hashem heard the voice of the tefillah of Yitzchak and answered Yitzchak. Why? Because the rabbis teach us the prayer of a tzaddik, that is the son of a tzaddik, outweighs the prayer of a tzaddik, that is the son or daughter of a rasha. So although Rivka was a holy woman, her family and her parents were not. Yitzchak was holy and his parents were. So his prayer was answered. And the Toldot Yitzchak of Nashchis says that that Yitzchak was praying lenochach ishto. Nochach is gematria mazla. Mazla is the mazal. That Yitzchak was praying to completely change the mazal of Rivka from being a woman that's not able to have children to becoming a woman that's able to have children. And then we get told that she finally gets pregnant. V'itrotzitzu abanim bekirba. She has this embryo fetus inside of her that starts to go crazy, and it starts as if there's a war inside of there. And she says, "Imken lama ze anochi? What's going on? What's happening to me?" And she went to go out to seek out Hashem. Where did she seek out Hashem? In the Beit Midrash, Hashem ben Noach, Hashem and Ever, which Baruch Hashem, our Masoret here in Tzfat, is that this place was here in Tzfat. And she goes to ask advice from the tzaddik, what's going on? What is happening? What's happening in the stomach? Every time I walk by a synagogue, the baby goes crazy. Every time I walk by a place of Avodah Zarah, the baby goes crazy and wants to come out. What is going on? How could it be that I have a child that wants such holy things and wants such evil things? And Shem tells her, or the yeshiva of Shem Behever tell her, that you have two children in you. You have two children in you. It's not one, and this kind of calmed her down. One is a tzaddik, and every time you pass by the synagogues and the Beit Knesset and the Beit Midrashot, he wants to come out. He wants to pray. He wants to connect to Hashem. One is a rasha, and every time you go by a place of Avodah Zarah, he wants to come out. Each one of them will be a different nation. Each one of them will have their own kingdom. And they're going to be separated when they come out. to show you that the Rasha will be increased and he will be massive in this world. He will become a huge, giant nation. And the Tzaddik will still rule over him on condition that he keeps Torah. Meaning, and the Esav is going to become this giant nation. We see now 2 billion people considered Christians, the whole Western world in power, leading the world. Trump, right? And we have the ability to rule over all of that power, all of that strength, all of that might by being a tzaddik that's connected to Torah. We have the ability. That was what the yeshiva told her. And in the end, she did have twins. And the first one came out very reddish, filled with hair. It was ready-made, right? It came out ready-made. He was like a little mini-man from birth, and that's why he was named Esav, Asui. He's done, he's complete, he's made, he's been made already. And after that, his brother was holding on to his heel, and he also came out, and he was named Yaakov, because he held on to the heel, which is called Ekev, right? And the Arizal says, this is why there are so many Christian converts to Judaism, and not so many from Ishmael, from the Arabs and the Muslims. Because Esav was in the womb with Yaakov. It's impossible that he didn't have an impression from the tzaddik that was with him. Right? And that's why you see, non-stop, you have people from Esav, people from Edom, that are interested in Judaism more than anything. Technically, Muslims and us are much, much closer in day-to-day life and behavior. But they don't have the same calling to come convert because they weren't in the womb. In the womb. And so we see how much of an impression your friends and your close friends and your family and your surroundings can have on you, for good or for bad, right? And obviously, this war that's going on in between of going to the synagogue versus going to the club or whatever else, bad things. Although, yes, there's two nations. The truth is that we all have this inside of us. We all have a Yaakov inside of us. We all have an Esav inside of us. Bekirba, right? Sarah was laughing in her midst. Why was she laughing? Berifka. She's laughing about Rifka, that there's Rifka now. She made space for Rifka. So too, Rifka has these letters, Kirba, in our midst. And her in her stomach, in the midst of a person, they have a Yaakov, they have an Esav, they have these two powers. But the Torah tells us outright that the Tzaddikim told her, Rifka, don't worry, they're two different forces. It's not the same force. They're two different forces, and you can rule over one of them by being a tzaddik. That's how we can take it around for our own personal life. We all do have two forces inside of us. We have a body and a neshama. But what's meant to rule over? The neshama. How do we do that? Torah and tefillah. To really do the avodah, to not give up that power, to not give up the first right, the birthright. Yitzchak is 60 years old when these two kids are born. And they were twins. And the teachers, the rabbis tell us that they were identical twins in behavior and everything. They were identical, they looked the same, they acted the same until they became teenagers. At around 15 years old, their true colors were revealed very, very loudly. Esav would always be in the fields, hunting with animals. And he's always with people. And Yaakov was a simple person. He was whole. He wanted to sit all day long learning Torah in the tents. He wasn't interested in being out in the world, business, none of that. He wanted to learn. Yitzchak himself, he himself was a tzaddik. And he also loved learning and all that. But he was complete. He was whole. He loved Esav. Because Esav always, always, always walked around with good words. He was always charming his father. Right? Tzayt befiv. He had a hunt. He had game in his mouth. What does it mean he had game in his mouth? That he knew how to talk to his father. He knew how to talk the talk. Right? He didn't walk the walk, but he knew how to talk, and he made Yitzchak feel good. He made Yitzchak feel good. The rabbis teach us, yes, very stupid questions, right? To make himself feel and to try to show like he was really learning Torah. Do we do maaser on salt? And all these different things that are like completely not, if you learned, you would know. But he was trying to impress his father, and Yitzchak thought it was cute. Rivka Shabami Beit Shal Rasha'im, שידעה להבחין בהבדל, לכן אהבה את יעקב. רבקה, who came from a house of wicked people, she grew up with cheats and liars her whole entire life, she saw right through it, and that's why she loved Yaakov more. Yaakov started to make some food to eat, some lentil soup, and he went to go eat with Yitzchak, his father. And all of a sudden, Esav comes in from the field extremely tired. He did very bad things on that day. The rabbi said he did 5 different things. He killed Nimrod. He stole his the cloak from Adam, that animals were afraid of it. He did a bunch of different crazy things. 5 horrible things that he did on that day, and he came in from all of the negative, bad sins, extremely tired. And when he sees this food that Yaakov made, and it has this red color to it, he asks from Yaakov, pour it straight down from the pot, pour it down my throat. He was so hungry. Didn't even want to eat, didn't want to chew. Take the pot and just, aliteni na min adam hazeh, pour it down my throat. Yaakov sees that Esav doesn't even know how to make a differentiation between the different types of food that are in front of him. He calls it red. It wasn't really red. He saw other things. He doesn't know what's going on. So he said to Esav, you're so tired. You're not able to deal with ideas of bechora, of being holy, of being a tzaddik, and avodat Hashem, and being patient, and saying a bracha. And you don't know how to do all these things. You're too tired to do all of it. Why don't you just sell it to me? Why don't you just get rid of it? Get rid of all this obligation. Sell it to me. I'll buy it off of you. Esav thinks to himself, he says, yeah, the truth is I am tired. And who even needs all of this spiritual stuff? I want this world. I don't want the world to come. I can't see the world to come. I only see this world, so who cares about the world to come? Presently, I'm here, and I want to be strong in this world.
YOLO.
So take it. YOLO. He didn't know. That's not true. You live more than once. And Yaakov asked then, he says, I want to do a proper kinyan. I want to acquire it. Please do a kinyan. Take this bread. Please lift the bread up. Shake hands. And that's it. Esav sold away his birthrights. He sold away, the Torah says, a firstborn son gets a double portion. Esav, at this moment, because of his lust for physicality and the mind that he lost his mind because of the sins he did that day, he just gave away everything that made him special. The only chance he had to come back, Yaakov gives him the bread, he gives him the bowl of soup. Esav eats from it, he drinks, he gets up, and he goes on his way. And while he's doing all of that, he's, so to say, like, who needs that spiritual nonsense anyway? Who cares about this bechorot? The whole time the Torah tells us, that he disrespected the bechora. He was talking down on the bechora. I don't need that nonsense. What do I care about spirituality? He lost it. Now at the time of in the land of Israel, there was a great famine, a completely different famine than there was in the times of Abraham's time. Yitzchak goes to live with Avimelech, the king of the Pilishtim. The Pilishtim are, the word polesh in Hebrew means to invade. And these are the spiritual root of the Palestinian people who are also invaders in this land. And we see that only when there's a strong presence of Judaism do the Pilishtim, to the Palestinians, and the Pilishtim show up. So here they're showing up on the scene. Yitzhak has to go live with them. He thought to go to Egypt like his father did, but Hashem reveals himself and tells him, you have no permission to leave the land of Israel and to go to Egypt. So Hashem tells him that he has to stay there to live in Canaan in the land of Israel. Yitzhak wasn't allowed more than one wife. He wasn't allowed to travel outside of the land of Israel. Yitzhak was complete and whole within the limitations and the boundaries that Hashem sent up. And even though there's a famine in the land right now, Hashem says that he's going to be with Yitzhak and he's going to bless him like he promised to him. This whole land will be yours and I will increase your seed and everybody will be blessed by way of you. Since your father Avram listened to my voice and he kept all of the Torah, so as a pay to Avraham, I will do the same to you, Yitzhak. That's the first Aliyah. Second Aliyah, Yitzhak stays to live with Avimelech like Hashem commanded to him. When Yitzchak gets to the city of Gerar, which is the capital of the Pilishtim. He gets there with Rivka. Rivka was extremely beautiful, like her mother-in-law. And straight away, they ask Yitzchak, who's this woman that you're with? And he answers, like the way of our family, from Avram and Sarah, he answers, this is my sister. Because he was very scared that they're going to take him, kill him, and take his wife. And then, what's the point? What's going to happen? What would be the good that comes out of that? So Yitzchak lives with them for a while. He doesn't get afraid of his wife being taken by them at all. And then he kind of lets his guard down, and he's more free to walk around and to leave her alone. And one time, Avimelech comes and passes by Yitzchak's tent and sees that he's playing with his wife. And Avimelech straight away calls for Yitzchak and asks him, how'd you tell me that she's your sister and you're doing such a thing? How could you act with your sister like that? And Yitzchak says, listen, I was scared that you're going to kill me. Avimelech accuses Yitzchak of doing something that was very, very bad. He wanted to take Rivka for a wife, and it would have caused him to sin with sleeping with a married woman, which is a sin for the whole entire world, not just for the Jewish people. The Bnei Noach also have to know that it's forbidden to do things like that. And Avimelech then turns to all of the Pilishtim and warns them with death if anybody comes and touches Rivka. Yitzchak goes to plant some seeds there in the fields. And he had a huge bracha. This is where the name of the neighborhood Mea Sha'arim comes from. Mea Sha'arim, 100 gates, 100 portions. Right? Because he planted a seed and he got a lot of blessing out of it. And he sold it for a ton of money, and he had extreme wealth. Second Aliyah. Now we're going to the third Aliyah. Yitzchak at this point is extremely, extremely rich. He's made a lot of money. He has flocks, he has sheep, he has herds of cattle. He has a lot of fields. And the people of the place there start to get very, very jealous of him. And all of the wells of water that the slaves and the workers of Avram dug up, these Pilishtim, these invaders, these foreign people that are not from our land, came and covered up all of these wells out of their jealousy for Yitzchak. Avimelech goes and kicks Yitzchak out of his land because he's so powerful. Here's a sign of what's going to happen to us when we get to Egypt. But because of our strength and the way we grow, then we end up becoming sores in the eyes of the host nation that, out of their jealousy, can't tolerate our success. And they end up kicking us out. This happened in Egypt. It happened here in Gran. It happened in Spain, Portugal, England, France, Babylon. It's happening now in America too. At a certain point, the Jews become so successful from such comfort that the nations around us can't tolerate us. They don't like us, and the jealousy starts to increase, and then we're forced to leave. We're forced to leave. History repeats itself. Nothing is different in our times. We have to know. The only thing that's different now is that there isn't a famine in the land. It isn't hard in the land of Israel. The land of Israel is good. It's built up. It has Shefa, it has abundance, it has Torah, it has Parnassah, it has Emunah here on a higher level. Everything you have in Eretz Yisrael now, what our forefathers even didn't have. Yitzchak left this place and he goes and he settles in Nachal Grav. Nachal Grav is further out, away from the city, closer to the river. And Yitzchak goes and he redigs all of the wells that the Philistim covered up. The Baal Shem Tov says on this idea that what is a well? A ber ma'im, a well of water, wellsprings of water of Torah, that we want to dig into the afar, into the earth, into this land. We want to bring Torah and bring it into the afriut, into our dustiness. What's our dustiness? The fact that we are earthen, that we fall into depression, that we become more and more human and more like the earth. And that sometimes is not where we need to be. Although we came from the earth and we're going to go back to the earth, we have a fire inside of us as well. We have water inside of us as well. We have wind inside of us as well. We can't always just be the element of earth, low to the ground, out of it, depressed, lazy. And the tzaddikim, the forefathers, were digging wells in order to bring down water, living water that can bring life, Torah, into all of the dust. And obviously come the Palestinians, come the Pilishtim, and they want to cover up it. They want to cover up all of that wellspring of water that brings life. They want to cover it up and cover it up. And Yitzhak didn't give up. Yitzhak went and he uncovered the same exact wells that Avram dug, this time from a place of might. Avram, when he dug it out of a place of love. And now Yitzhak is coming with might and not giving up on the mission and going hard to make sure that there are wellsprings. There is water in the world. There is a way to pick ourselves up out of the dust. And he calls them the same names that his father called them. And he makes another, more wells. He finds more water that's coming out. And people increase there. He calls this well Rechovot, expansion. So too, when a person gets away from the Pilishtim, when he gets away from all of the Klipot, the Baal Shem Tov says that the Pilishtim, the Palestinians, are Klipot. All the Klipot that surround us, and when a person gets away from them, he moved away from the city, he got away from all of those tests, then he had an Archava, and he had an expansion. And instead of being scared of external things, now he can step into a more expanded type of fear called Irata Romimut, the awe of Hashem, the awe of the inner world, where there is no limitations, and that's what was the name of Rechovot, this expansion that he had. The people of the place start to fight with the slaves of Yitzchak, with the claim that saying that this well actually belongs to them. And they named it Esek, she'itasku, that they're the ones that did it. And they keep digging more and more and more wells. And they keep fighting also about who belongs to what. And from such jealousy, Avimelech and his slaves and his workers against Yitzchak, Yitzchak had to move. Yitzchak had to get away. And he had to go live in Be'er Sheva. Hashem reveals himself at nighttime to Yitzchak and tells him, I am the God of your father Avram. Don't be scared on the fact that you had to leave where you were living. I'm giving you a blessing that your property and your wealth will increase and it won't be damaged and everything will just be blessed and increase because of Avraham, my loyal servant. Yitzchak says, thank you, Hashem, by way of building an altar and praying to Hashem, connecting to Hashem. Chazal tells us that Yitzchak went out of Gerar, and as soon as he went out of Gerar, all of the wells that he dug up and Avimelech took, all of them dried up. They all dried up. And we see this also with every other nation that kicked us out of their land. As soon as the Jews get out, the country falls apart. It happened with Spain, with Portugal, with every country that we listed before. And it will happen with America too. And then, what happens? Avimelech's servants want to come ask Yitzchak for a bracha. They want to go a bracha. And Yitzchak says, what? Didn't you guys kick me out? You didn't want me to be around. Now all of a sudden you want a blessing? Why are you coming to me? You kicked me out. And they say, we see that Hashem is with you. If Hashem is with you and you have a lot of blessing, therefore we want to make a compact, a breach with you, a covenant with you. Let's make a deal. We kicked you out, we hated you, we blamed you for all of our problems. Now we see that you weren't the problem, you were the blessing and we were the problem. Let's make a deal again. And how do we see this in our generation? Spain and Portugal offering passports to the Jews. Yeah, we killed you and we chased you for 400 years. We slaughtered you in the streets. Ah, you came from our country. Here, come take a passport. Why do you think that they want Jews to have passports and come back to their country? Maybe because they have over 50% unemployment rate and no one can keep a job there and no one's making money there. It's filled with other kinds of Semitic immigrants. So you want to bring back the ones that know how to do business and set up societies that stay working? It's okay, guys. Enjoy your country. Avimelech and his people, they remind Yitzchak that they never did anything bad to him. They just did only good. And now, please do good with us and bless us as well. Yitzchak makes a party for Avimelech and all of his slaves. In the morning, he gets up. And they split by way of an oath. They made the oath that they came to make. The slaves of Yitzchak tell him that the same wells that they dug back in the day, they found water there. Yitzchak goes to the well and he gives it a name according to the oath that they made. And the Torah comes and tells us that Esav, the son of Yitzchak, at this moment was 40 years old, and he gets married with Yehudit, a girl named Yehudit. Esav married a girl named Yehudit, and another woman named Bosmat. And Yitzchak and Rivka really, really, really do not approve of the Shiduch. They don't like these two girls. They're Canaanite women from the land, and that's not the way that our family does it. They do Avodah Zarah, they're doing bad things. Rivka and Yitzchak are not happy. Now Yitzchak gets older and he loses his sight. There's three reasons the rabbis say he loses his sight. One is because when he was on the altar, the angels looked down and saw that he was being slaughtered. They started to cry and their tears went inside of his eyes and damaged his eyes. Another reason is that Ishmael's wives were doing Avodah Zarah so much that the smoke of the Avodah Zarah blemished the eyes of Yitzchak. And another reason was that from divine providence that it happened so that Yitzchak would go blind and Yaakov would be able to come and take the blessings. But at this point, either way you see it, Yitzchak is not able to see. And he calls Esav, his son, his oldest son, and he wants to give him a blessing. And the rabbis teach us from here that a person should not be fearful, but you need to start preparing for your passing within 10 years range of when your parents passed away. That means 5 years before and 5 years afterwards. There's family history, medical history, as they say. So now he's coming within the time that his mother was. She was 127, and at this point, he's already 123. And he says, I don't know when the day I'm going to pass is coming. I don't know when that day is, but it's close. It's for sure close. I'm already near to my mother's age of when she passed. And now, take all of your vessels, take all of your tools, go to the field, and get me some good food, according to how I like it. And I will give you a blessing before you pass. The rabbis teach us that Esav was tired and he didn't really care that much. And he wanted to go get a dog to feed Yitzchak. Rivka hears all of this. And the moment that Esav leaves to the field to go hunt, she calls Yaakov, tells him everything that was said. And she says to Yaakov, listen to me. Listen to me. And go take one of the sheep that we have here close to the house. Give me two of its calves, two of the lambs. And I'm going to make exactly what your father wants. And you're going to bring it to your father. And you're going to take all of the blessings before he passes away. Yaakov, being a straightforward, true, innocent person, has a question on his mother. He says, my brother Esav, he's the one. He's all hairy as well. And my skin is fair. I'm not so hairy like him. He's going to see smooth skin. He's going to know. My father touches me. He can't see me, but if he touches me, he touches my hand, he's going to realize that I'm not Esav, and then I'm going to get cursed and not blessed. Rivka makes a promise that there won't be any curse. Won't be any curse. And if there is a curse, Rivka says she's taking it on herself. And Yaakov won't be affected by it. But you have to listen to me and do everything that I'm telling you. Yaakov does the mitzvah of what his mother is telling him. She prepares the food. Rivka takes the clothing of Esav and puts them on Yaakov. and she gives him the food in his hand, and she tells him, go take it to your father. And when he goes in, Yitzchak says, Miata, who are you? And Yaakov says, in a very interesting way, Anochi Esav Bechorcha. He says, who are you? Yaakov answers, I, Esav's your firstborn. Who am I? I am Esav, your firstborn. Really, we have to understand how it is. Yaakov doesn't want to lie. So he says, who are you? I am I, comma, Esav's your firstborn. And he tells him, I brought you food, the food that you asked for. Now please get up from your bed and eat so that you can give me a bracha. Yitzhak asks him, how did you get food so quickly? And he says, Hashem brought it to me quickly. Hashem gave me a blessing. There was a miracle. I caught all the food very quickly. Yitzhak still has a sense of fear here that it's not Esav. And he says, come closer. I want to touch you. I want to feel. Because Esav was hairy. Yaakov goes up. Yitzhak comes to touch him, and he sees, yeah, it appears to be Esav, but the voice, what's going on with the voice? Akol kol Yaakov, Adam yedei Esav. The voice that I hear is Yaakov's voice, but the hands of Esav. It's also another lesson we can walk away with. We want to make sure that our hands align with our mouth. That we don't show up in the world talking Yaakov, but we act Esav. Mezat Hashem. We want to be aligned. So Yitzhak asks him, Ata beni Esav? You my son, Esav? He says, Ani, I am. He doesn't say Esav. And he says, now, he says, now you're going to sit here while I eat, and afterwards you come up and get a kiss, and I'll smell his clothing, and he starts with the blessings. And Yitzchak gives Yaakov all of these blessings that Hashem gave him from the best of the dew that's coming down from the heavens, from the best of what's growing up from the earth, that you'll be able to give money to others and provide for others. Nations will serve you, and nations will bow down to you. You will be the leader, and you will rule all of your brothers, and whoever curses you will be cursed, and whoever blesses you will be blessed. And at the end of the blessings, when Yaakov starts to leave now the house, all of a sudden, Esav shows up with his game. Esav shows up with the hunt. And Esav also prepared food, and he comes to his father, and he gives him the food, and he asks him to give him a blessing. And Yitzhak says, who are you? And he answers him, I am your first son, Esav. And Yitzhak gets extremely, extremely scared at this moment. Charada, v'charad Yitzhak, charada gedola ad me'od. Yitzhak is shook, he knows what's about to happen, he understands the gravity of what just took place. And he says, says to him, I already got food before you came here. And now he gives Esav a blessing from his own mind. Even though he already ate, Yitzhak understands, I have to give him something. This is Esav, he's a crazy person. If I don't give him anything, there's gonna be even bigger problems. And when Esav finds out that someone came before him, he let out a scream. He let out a scream so powerful that the whole entire world heard it, and he asked his father to give him a blessing. And Yitzhak says to Esav, your brother came and he tricked me, but, says Esav, Yaakov came bechokhmah, with wisdom. But with wisdom he came, and he took all of the blessings. And here Esav understands why Yaakov is called Yaakov, from Ikuv, to delay. Because twice he delayed me. Once, when he took my birthright, and now that he took this blessing as well, he took all of the rights as the firstborn, and now he even took the blessing. And Esav looks with hope, eyes of hope, that Yitzhak still has something to give over, a little bit of blessing. And Yitzhak tells him, I already gave Yaakov all the blessings. And he said that he's going to rule over all of his brothers, and he'll be the strong one, and he'll be the good one, and the strong one. So now what blessings could I give you? Give you a blessing that you have a lot of wealth and a lot of possessions. And if you buy them, they'll be related to Yaakov. So what blessing could I give you? I already made him the Gvir. I already made him the one that's in power. So he says, give me time, let me see how to do it. Esav asks his father, what, you only have one blessing? Abba, you only have one blessing? Give me a blessing, please. And he lifts his voice out in crying. He cries to Yitzchak, give me a blessing. What, you only have one blessing to give your son? And Yitzchak says, listen, my son, I'm going to give you a blessing that the place where you live, it will be a fat land, meaning filled with blessing, filled with resources. Im shibud kal achicha, and you'll have an easy subservitude to your brother. You'll live from the dew of the heavens. You won't need to work the land that needs rain. And a special blessing, a clause is that if your brother doesn't keep the Torah and doesn't act properly, then you'll be able to complain that he stole from you and he took from you these blessings. Esav takes all of this grudge and he keeps it in his heart against Yaakov about the blessings. And he makes a decision in his heart. He's going to get revenge. He's going to kill Yaakov. There's no way he's going to let him get away with this. And as soon as Yitzhak passes away, Yaakov's head is the number one on the hunting list for Esav. He doesn't want to cause him pain. It's known that Yitzhak had immense respect for his father and his mother. He didn't want to do it while he was still alive. And when Rivka hears this plan that Esav wants to kill him, she sends Yaakov and asks him to please run away to Haran, to her brother Lavan, to sit there with him for a while until this anger passes away and Esav moves on. And then she tells him, once he gets over it, I'll send to bring you back. Why? All of this? Because I'm scared. He's going to kill you. I don't want him to kill you. And then I lose two sons in one day. So she doesn't want this. Rivka turns to Yitzchak and says, I'd be disgusted and my life would be over if Yaakov marries the girls of Canaan, the daughters of sin, the daughters of Chet. There's no woman more wicked than this in the whole entire world. Why would I even have life if that's the case? So Yitzhak calls to Yaakov and tells him he's not allowed to marry the daughters of Chet, and gives him a blessing. Birkat HaDerech sends him on his path. And he asks him to go to Padan, to the house of Betuel, the father of Rivka, and to take a woman from Lavan, his niece, his cousins, from his uncle's daughters. And Hashem will bless you and you'll have offspring and multiply. And I also give you a blessing, and you and your offspring, that you will receive all the blessings that Hashem blessed Avram with. Yitzhak sends Yaakov to Padan Aram, to the house of Lavan. Yaakov hears the voice of his father and his mother going in front of him. And he leaves and he keeps his mitzvah. He goes to Padan. Esav hears that Yitzhak commanded Yaakov with not marrying the daughters of the land and to go marry from the family in Padan Aram. So Esav understands that clearly his parents are very upset about his wives and that they're doing bad. So he goes to Ishmael, his step-uncle, and he asks to get married to one of his daughters, and he gets married to the daughter Machlat, as another additional wife. This is our parasha. There's a lot of gems here. We Yitzchak's life is very, very special. One thing I'll just finish off with, it's written in Likutei Halachot, Rabbi Natan of Breslov has an amazing, amazing prophecy over 200 years ago. He says that, why is it that Yitzchak loved Esav so much? Why did he give him such importance? He knew that he was wicked. We're talking about one of the holiest person in the world. Yitzchak knew exactly who his son was. How could he convince him any other way? To give him so much love and to take care of him. Rabbi Natan says, because Yitzchak was certain and sure that all of the might and the strength that Esav was showing, and the way that he knew how to fight and use the sword, all of that was to help Yaakov conquer the land of Israel and to help Yaakov inherit it all and settle it. So he gave him a lot of love and he pumped him up because he was certain of it, that Yitzchak taught Esav, and Esav was going to take all of that strength and use it to protect Yaakov. And he thought that it was going to happen immediately in their lifetime. And Mashiach is going to come, and Am Yisrael will conquer all of the land of Israel, and build a temple, and that's it. And Rabbi Natan says that that was the mistake, that he thought it was going to happen then, in their lifetime. But really, it will happen in the end of days. And Rabbi Natan of Breslov says that in the end of days, we're going to see that Esav, against their will be forced to give weapons and ammunition to the nation of Israel to conquer the land of Israel. Against their will. So when you see the nations of the world being forced, some way or another, against the will of their people, to send weapons and arms to our people to conquer the land of Israel, just know that this is part of the prophecies. This is the fulfillment of a lot of Torah prophecies. And we have to be happy. Right now, they still kind of want to do it. Soon is going to come a point where they're not going to want to give us weapons. It's happened a few times in the past few years where they try to close the tap. At a point, there's going to come a point where they don't want to give us at all. And if you see that they get forced to give us, and we use those weapons to really conquer Jerusalem, to really conquer Hebron, to really conquer Shechem, to take back all of our land, you know Mashiach is coming very, very soon. B'zat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom, u'mevorach.